You can turn in your Bibles just now to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 and 2 this morning is our scripture reading, and I'm going to read that just now from the New King James. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Let's just bow in prayer. This is God's holy word. Let's bow in prayer before we consider God's word together this morning. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you would indeed, even as we have sung this morning, that you would hold us fast. That you would hold us fast by your word and the working of your spirit through the word this morning. We pray that the work of the word this morning might be that believers would be preserved in their profession of the gospel. We pray that they would be preserved, clinging to the promises of your word. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Some time ago, a few decades ago, in fact, it's just over 51 years ago now, there was a Major League Baseball team that found itself halfway through the year, mid-season, in last place. But those 1973 New York Mets, the amazing Mets as they were called, ended up by the end of the year making it all the way to the World Series. And along the way, there was a bit of a slogan that was pitched by one of the pitchers, actually, on the team, and became sort of the slogan of the team throughout that year. And that slogan was, "You gotta believe. You gotta believe." Now, this is an ever so trite, silly example by way of illustration that I offer, but I do so for a point. And that is, I mention this because not only do other athletes, not only do other athletic teams, but also many in our world, in daily life, have this thought that by merely believing, merely by thinking positively about things, they can actually make things happen. And unfortunately, even Christians can be drawn into this wrongful thinking, this mistaken thought that God answers our prayer in direct proportion to how much faith we have, that you're not being healed, or you're not experiencing God's blessing in a particular way because simply you don't have enough faith. As if faith somehow has some sort of magical power in and of itself. But is this thinking properly about faith and about what faith is? We come today to the most well-known chapter in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, what is known often as the Hall of Faith. And we have done so on this first Sunday of the year without any real effort on my part, but providentially we arrive here at Hebrews 11, verse 1, on the first Sunday of the year of 2025. I say that because I need to get used to saying that. At the beginning of 2025. And as we do so, I want to have these next number of weeks as we work through Hebrews chapter 11. I want to have you view them as almost a series within a series. God has worked it providentially so that we arrive here at the beginning of the year. And so in our series that is now 1 year old in going through the book of Hebrews and that we will continue on to its conclusion later this year, but even now at the beginning of the year, I want you to consider this as a series within a series, walking by faith. Walking by faith in 2025. And as we enter into it now, in Hebrews chapter 11, and as always, as we enter into a text on these Sunday mornings, we need to first of all consider the context moving into this passage. The context is crucial, especially here, I believe, as we look at this passage. The context is chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. We need to perhaps once again, with our mind's eye, remove that helpful at times, but unhelpful at other times, perhaps, the chapter division, and see verses 1 and 2 of chapter 11 flowing out of the previous context of verses 38 and 39 of chapter 10. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. The just shall live by faith is proclaimed there in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, in particular, verse 38. And this, of course, and if you have cross references, you will note this, and it was preached on a number of weeks ago now, but this is a reference and a quotation indeed back to the book of Habakkuk, which we had wonderfully read for us at the outset and strategically read for us to that end. From the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, the just shall live by faith. And the statement that is made there in Habakkuk chapter 2, and the same statement that is made there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, that statement in both locations really has essentially the same thought, the same meaning. And here we go. That God's people, in all times, God's people need to live their lives trusting in God no matter what comes their way. God's people need to live their lives trusting in Him whatever comes their way. Now, what is that whatever that comes their way? Back in the book of Habakkuk, what was coming their way was the empire of Babylon, the great world power of the day, that the Babylonians were about to run roughshod over the southern kingdom of Judah. But nevertheless, the just, God delivers to the people through the pen of Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Nevertheless, God's people need to trust in God. That was in Habakkuk's day. Now, in the first century, as the readers of the book of Hebrews read those words, that the just shall live by faith. Whatever comes their way, the whatever for them was the persecution that was coming heavily upon the readers of the book of Hebrews, tempting them, as we have reminded you of all the way through the book of Hebrews, for this is the occasion of the writing of this book, that due to this persecution, they are being tempted to draw back, to do just what is said there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39. But we are not those who draw back to perdition. And verse 38, but if anyone does draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That instead, back there in the first century, as these Hebrew believers were reading these words, back then, as well as now, God's people need to trust in God, whatever it is that comes their way. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Let me, just before we move into our text this morning, let me just share a word that comes from the Puritan theologian John Owen. Now, once again, the Puritans are admittedly not easy reading at times. So I encourage you, though not easy reading, they are so rich, so very rich. So I would encourage you now, as I read this one sentence, just a couple of times I will read it to you, just to really concentrate on what you're hearing. For this really forms a wonderful backdrop to what we are going to be considering this morning. The Puritan theologian, the great Puritan theologian, John Owen, said the following regarding faith, regarding the work of faith, and what God is doing through our faith. He says the work of faith is the following. The preservation. We sang the song earlier. He will hold me fast. The work of faith, according to John Owen, is the preservation of believers in the profession of the gospel with constancy. The work of faith is the preservation of believers. That is what God is doing through your faith and through the exercising of your faith. And we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. What is that faith? The work of faith is the preservation of believers in the profession of the gospel in constancy. Now, with that in mind, with that introduction, and that with that reminder that the just, excuse me, that the just need to live by faith. With that in mind, let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and continue on into our text this morning. As the author of Hebrews unpacks for us what faith is all about, he unpacks for us that in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, by giving us the definition of faith and an understanding of what faith is. And what is this faith that the just need to live by, God's people need to live by? And he does so as he continues on through the chapter by giving us and using a number of wonderful examples from the Old Testament. Thus, we call this chapter the Hall of Faith, helping us understand what it means to live by faith. So we begin with verse number 1 in Hebrews chapter 11 with a definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The first question that we have to ask and answer as we enter into this text, and you know how I love to ask questions of the text, and here we go again. The first question that immediately came to mind as I considered this week, and I hope is popping into your mind, the first question is, do we have there in verse number 1, do we have two different statements or do we have two ways of saying the same thing? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Are those two different things, or is the author really saying the same thing twice? Do I need to distinguish these statements and interpret them separately? Or is he emphasizing by repetition and in a particularly Hebrew way of expressing things, is he saying the same thing twice? Well, I believe it's the latter. I believe he's putting emphasis on this by saying really, essentially, the same thing twice. Let me show you this by working through this text and showing you that by, first of all, beginning at the end, as it were, beginning at the end of these two statements. The one statement ends with things hoped for. Things hoped for. The second statement ends with things not seen. Not yet seen. Things hoped for, things not yet seen. That's essentially the same thing, isn't it? These are things that are not seen at present, but they are hoped for in the future. It is hoped for that when we enter into that future, we will see them then. It's the same thing. Things hoped for, things not seen. Now let's move to the front end of these two statements. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Substance, evidence, or in the ESV perhaps, we ought to consider that also. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Assurance, conviction, assurance, conviction. Again, essentially the same thing. So let's consider these together. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. What's the point there? Well, here's the point. The point is that to have faith, what is the definition of faith as given here? To have faith means to be convinced, of the veracity, the certainty of those things that are hoped for. So now, as we move along, faith is to be convinced and assured and convicted of the veracity, the certainty of those things that are hoped for. This raises the next question, doesn't it? What is that next question? What are those things that are hoped for? What are those things that are hoped for? What are those things that are not seen, as our text says? What are we to be hoping for as believers? Well, if we peek ahead, and as we often say, just read on, and the text will explain this for us. If we were to read on, and we won't go through the whole passage today, we will go through the whole chapter in the weeks that lie ahead, but if we just even peek ahead just now, we will see the following in terms of those things that are hoped for. Verse number 10 speaks of the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We look on in the chapter, and we see also in verse 14, and I believe this was even prayed for just minutes ago, a homeland. Verse 16, a better country, a heavenly country. Verses 19 and 35 speaks of the resurrection, or even a better resurrection in verse 35. These are the things that are hoped for. One of my favorite, if not my real favorite, living biblical scholar, is the individual Don Carson, or D.A. Carson. And this is very fresh to me because it was just announced, he announced just before Christmas a few weeks ago, he announced in a public letter that he was, due to failing health, needing to step back from all of his ministries, all of his writing, all of his ministry, all of his speaking, because of his failing health. It has come sadly, truly sadly, that this one's truly brilliant mind, which was a gift of God to the church for a number of decades now, that this brilliant mind is now so failing that he is needing to step back from ministry. However, he included this, and this is just so Carson and so wonderful. He included this in his letter. He said that these difficulties he's facing with his health, with his mind even, that these difficulties are nothing that a good resurrection can't fix. How wonderful is that? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In a nutshell, as I listed off a number of those things that are mentioned later on in the chapter, in chapter 11, a homeland, a better country, a heavenly country, the resurrection. In a nutshell, those things that are hoped for, hear me, are heavenly things, not earthly things. They are the glorious promises of God. They are not the desires of life lived here on earth. They are not health and wealth and prosperity. They are not success achieved. With all due respect and all apology to the 1973 Mets, they are not success achieved by just believing. For that is not faith for the believer. That is arrogant presumption. Rather, again, our faith is directed towards the promises of God. The promises of God, they are directed towards, and our faith is directed towards God Himself. He is the object of our faith. His promises are the object of our faith. In other words, it is not so much about the amount of faith and quantity of faith that we have, but rather it is about the object of our faith, the promises of God. So you might be asking, will God grant me this year in 2025 an answer to my ongoing prayer for healing, to my ongoing prayer for freedom from pain? I don't know. Perhaps. But what I do know, is that He has promised a resurrected body at the return of Christ that will never, ever experience any sickness or pain. You may be asking, will God grant me in 2025 relief from the financial pressures that I'm facing and have been facing for some time now? Well, my answer to that is, I don't know. Perhaps He will. But what I do know is that He has prepared for you a homeland and a better country. You may be asking, will God in 2025 grant me relief from the loneliness that I'm facing, from the grief, the awful grief that I'm experiencing? We just came through a funeral yesterday for our beloved brother, Dan. The grief that I'm experiencing, the grief that we're experiencing, perhaps because of loss, is God in 2025 going to answer my prayers and grant me relief for that loneliness, for that grief? I don't know. Perhaps. But hear me. He has promised that if you continue to live that life of faith, to live by faith, if you continue to live by faith, that verse 16 coming up in Hebrews chapter 11, He has promised that God will not be ashamed to be called your God. How marvelous is that? Amen indeed. Let's continue on. Let's talk a bit further regarding this faith. And I want you to note now that this is not, and I want to eliminate this word from your thinking altogether, this word that is so often placed out there. We are not talking about what some would call blind faith. This faith is not blind faith, for it is based, remember, and this is the point, that it is based on the promises of God. Not our own desires, not our own thoughts, not our own hopes. Nothing in this world, but based on the promises of God. And in order for you to see that, I want to return once again to those two statements, still in chapter 11, verse 1. These two statements that I mentioned at the beginning are really two statements saying the same thing. And I'm not going to change my mind on that. I'm going to continue to say that they are essentially saying the same thing. But I do want to now bring out two different nuances that are there in both of these statements. Two different nuances. And I want you to consider again these words that are translated in verse 1, translated in the New King James as substance and evidence, or in the ESV as assurance and conviction. Did you hear even a difference between the way those two versions translated? The one is substance and evidence, and the other is assurance and conviction. And in those two wonderful translations, they're bringing out two different nuances of what is said here in both of these statements. And let me present it to you in this way, that we call one of those nuances somewhat of a subjective nuance to this faith that's being talked about, having to do with how we feel. And the other nuance is more of an objective nuance, having to do not based so much and expressing not so much how we feel, but the fact and the solidity of those promises. Both are very valid. Both are very valid. And I think both nuances are present here in chapter 11, verse 1. Let me illustrate in this way how both are valid, both are present here, and both are so important for us to consider. Let me illustrate in this way and recall back coming up 6.5 years ago now when Bev and I were coming to Cranbrook to begin ministry here. And when we were coming to Cranbrook, at that point, as we were traveling along in our car along the number 3 highway, we had already purchased our house. We had purchased our house, but it was not yet in our possession. We were traveling from the coast through British Columbia to a home that was still ahead of us. And yet we weren't at all worried. We weren't biting our fingernails the whole trip along. Will it be there when we arrive? No, we weren't worried at all. We had very much those subjective feelings of confidence, of assurance, that when we arrived, everything would be in place. Why was that? Why do we possess wonderfully that subjective feeling of confidence, of assurance? Because of the objective reality of the paperwork, or actually at that point, the electronic paperwork, such that when we arrived, we knew that home would be there for us and it would be ours. And hopefully in that illustration where the correlation is almost exact, isn't it? Traveling through a land, looking for a homeland, which is ours now, though we do not yet possess it. And as a result of that objective reality of the rock-solid promises of God to the believer, there is that assurance, conviction, that is also spoken of in verse 1, that assurance and conviction and confidence that is ours. Finally, verse 2, faith also brings commendation. Faith brings commendation. And as we continue along in the weeks that lie ahead in Hebrews chapter 11 and work our way all the way through this chapter, we are going to be reading, even as I've mentioned briefly, and we see referenced here already in verse 2, these other individuals who will be coming along and being spoken of, other individuals from the Old Testament. We are going to be reading of Abraham and Sarah and Abel and Enoch and Noah and Moses and others as we move through Hebrews chapter 11. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, which we are looking at right now, these are those elders that are spoken of in verse 2, that are going to be laid before us in the weeks ahead as examples. They are, if you've got an ESV, the people of old who received that commendation, who received that good testimony back here in verse 2. And as we read on in the upcoming weeks, we are going to be seeing the amazing things accomplished by Abraham, by Moses, by Noah, by Sarah, etc. The amazing achievements and things accomplished by these individuals. But I want you to notice something in those weeks that lie ahead, and I want you to notice it right now. If you just cast your eye down the page of chapter 11, you will see one word. It's actually two words in our English Bible, one word in the original, one word that's repeated again and again and again, by faith, by faith, by faith. 18 times it appears in this chapter. I think that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the author of Hebrews put it down there 18 times for people like me who are slow learners. But even I get to the point, by faith, by faith, by faith. In each case, in other words, they achieved, they accomplished what they did whether it's Abraham obeying, whether it's Noah building the ark, whether it's Moses leading the people through the Red Sea, the author leaves no doubt that all of these individuals accomplished this by faith. And that therefore, each one of them received that commendation, by faith, because of their faith, not because of the works that came about as a result of that faith, but rather, verse number 2, for by it, by that faith, the elders obtained a good testimony, a commendation. And so to close now this morning, what was that commendation? And from whom did they receive that commendation? Well, I think you know the answer to that second question, certainly. They received the commendation from God. And I think you also know the answer to the first question. What was that commendation? You know this. It was, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I believe that's the same commendation that Dan received 2 weeks ago yesterday. 1 nanosecond after he closed his eyes to this world and opened them to the next, he was greeted by those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that same commendation is received by each one who, like Dan, and as is expressed at the end of chapter 10, that context leading in once again, like Dan, everyone who does not draw back, who does not shrink back, but rather believes to the saving of the soul, who trusts God, not for earthly things, but for the promises of Scripture, the promises of God. Let's pray. Father, may it be true of each of your children gathered here today. May it be true of us, especially as we move into this new year. May it be true that we do not pursue the little shiny trinkets of this world, but rather, by faith, may we hold to, may we cling to the glorious and wonderful and infinitely richer promises of God within Scripture. May we not shrink back, Father. But may we persevere by faith, may we persevere to the end. Even as you hold us in your hand, may we persevere to the end and hear in that day that commendation that Abraham, that Noah, that Moses heard. May we also hear that commendation that Dan heard. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.